Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Cut sheet coming up at 7:45 this morning. We'll also get to the mess in the Middle East with Syria, which transpired over the weekend. Joe Biden issuing B-52s and F-16s, big mess in the Middle East. And also an update with TikTok and the potential future ban here in the United States. But before we get to all of that, let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:07, the great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning, Kale and Company News Live this Monday morning, December the 9th. We are sponsored this morning by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. So there is a $5,000 reward as police, Philadelphia police, mainline police, suburban police along the mainline. They are searching this morning for a white vehicle and the driver who sped away from the scene of a crime. They don't know if this was random or targeted, but this is the search for at least two suspects and this white vehicle involved in this deadly home invasion. It happened in Wynwood, Montgomery County over the weekend. So we know that the Montgomery County DA's office has said the suspects shot a mother and son after breaking into a home on Meredith Road. It happened yesterday afternoon, about 2:30 in the afternoon. DA says one victim died. The other remains in very critical condition this morning. Neighbors expressing shock. They were able last night, police located one of the vehicles apparently stolen from the home during the home break-in. That was a green Jeep Cherokee. They found it in West Philadelphia. So as they try to close in on whoever committed this, they executed a search warrant on a home on the 5900 block of Sansom Street in West Philadelphia. And so they are still searching for this white vehicle this morning as they try to close in on these accused killers. So we have that one going on. I wanted to follow up on a case that we covered last year. And this, as a heartbroken family has said, they are grateful for justice. And this, as they still grieve the death of their loved one, the parents speaking out. Their son was murdered in the Center City Macy's store. You may remember this story. Now a Philadelphia man who stabbed two security guards there at the Center City Macy's last year, killing one, pleading guilty to murder and related crimes, and now faces a possible sentence that'll come in February of many decades behind bars. The suspect, 31-year-old Tyrone Tunnell, he admitted in court late last week that he fatally stabbed Eric Harrison. Eric Harrison was 27 years young. You may remember him. He was the hardworking security guard there at the Macy's store, worked two full-time jobs. I was just saving money, remember?
Yeah, he was doing this as a part-time job on top of his full-time gig.
It worked, you know, the very hardworking guy, the parents speaking out, and the suspect was trying to steal some hats at the department store. And it was foiled by these two security guards. And then he comes back with the knife like 10 minutes later. Remember this?
Yes. And he already left and had the apparel.
Yeah.
It's no different than these guys that stole the pizza and the chicken wings. Like, just, horrible. You know.
So the other guard, by the way, Christian Mitchell, he was stabbed in his multiple times, his face, his stomach, his chest, his back. But he did survive the thing miraculously. But as far as Harrison's mom, his mom was in court, his father was in court, and they were just speaking out saying that the Tunnell, who she was grateful that he confessed, but showed no remorse, knew the family was in court, never really apologized to them or you know, expressed any remorse. But they're grateful that it's over, that they have justice.
Yeah.
So as we look, you know, to this guy now, he's expected to be sentenced in February to life behind bars. But it's just a sad story. By the way, we now know that as far as huge, you know, traffic diverted area in the Mayfair section early this morning, we now know that with that accident, it was a woman who died after she was run over by a tractor trailer in Philadelphia. It happened in the wee hours of the morning. And police saying that the truck driver, big semi truck, he is completely you know, horrified and is cooperating fully. But he had just fueled up his truck at the Gasstar station early this morning, was making a turn on Frankfurt Ave when he struck this pedestrian, this woman. This happened about 1:15 this morning. And so it was obviously because it's a death, that's why they have to cordon off the area and so on. And then we talked earlier this morning about the four teenagers have been caught and arrested facing charges after they shot a pizza delivery driver, shot him twice after robbing him. And that happened in, Southwest Philadelphia. So that happened over the weekend. The update is they've apprehended all four of those teenagers ranging in age from 15 to 19. And they're facing these serious charges. The 17-year-old shooter, we're waiting to see if he will be charged as an adult. And we've been updating you, obviously, on the Daniel Penny case. Obviously, the jury returns to begin deliberations this morning after the judge on Friday, in a very unusual move, the prosecution team led by Alvin Bragg in New York City, the prosecution team made the decision to request to the judge that they dismiss the bigger charge, the top charge that would have carried 15 years in prison, after the jury had told the judge that they were a hung jury. They could not come to an agreement. So they tossed the bigger charge. Now they go to the lesser charge, which still could carry anything from up to 4 years behind bars, but could carry a charge of just asking for some probation. So very unusual and controversial move in New York City by Alvin Bragg. And it's being widely reported that this thing is grounds for an appeal that will win. But Daniel Penny still facing this as the jurors have to deliberate. So much happening today. And of course, the big story for all of us, Eagles, we clinched.
The Eagles!
But it was a nail biter. I mean, a lot of nail biter games, to say the least. As our Philadelphia Eagles, we did prevail against the Carolina Panthers, but 16-22,
yep,
a lot closer than anybody wanted.
I got to tell you, I'm so tired of watching them on the opening drive and in the first quarter. Every week, they look like they're stuck in mud. They just can't get going. They are the slowest. It's honestly remarkable that they're putting up the numbers they are, considering the first quarter, for whatever reason, they're just like, you know, they're like dial-up internet in a high-speed fiber optic world.
Well, I think, is Jalen Hurts, what's going on with him? I mean, thank God they have Saquon, but it seems like Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, A.J. Brown wasn't happy after the game.
Yeah, is not, I don't know if he's not feeling well or he has some injuries, but he's not, hopefully he'll, you know, perk up for the playoffs.
They asked A.J. Brown last night after the game, what do you guys have to get better at on offense? And he responded with one word. He said, passing.
Ouch.
If that's not a shot at Jalen Hurts, I don't know what is.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
No love.
Nope.
Among best friends.
Nope.
So we got that going on. A rainy day in store, 50 degrees today, but we will pop up into the 60s for tomorrow and Wednesday. Sponsored by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. The secret to finishing your holiday shopping, 3 locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City at the Lowe's Hotel. You can visit in person or online, josephanthony.com, where gift cards are available. That's josephanthony.com. Thank you for sponsoring Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210, the number. Let's grab Ray. He's in Warminster. He wants to jump in on the conversation we were having to wrap up the first hour. Ray, what's going on?
Much. Hey, that was a bucket of good news, Dawn. Thanks for that. Hey, so these people that are having this contest in New York for the assassin, they're the same people that were upset that Trump wasn't killed, right?
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
Yeah. So they don't understand the whole picture, right? You know, yeah, the guy was probably a scumbag, but he didn't deserve to die.
Right.
And he's a family man. He's got a wife and kids. His kids got to deal with this, you know. They're innocent, but, you know, they don't see the big picture. How are these insurance companies allowed to do what they do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, our politicians allow this to happen. Why are we voting in the same people that are on oversight committees that oversee what insurance companies can and can't do? And then when they retire from the government, they go work for the insurance company. Or mm-hmm. That's where the problem is. And these people, they can't seem to grasp that's really the root cause of these issues.
Yeah.
And regardless of what type of a person that guy was, he did deserve to get murdered.
I agree. And to your point, Ray, I'll take it a step further. And appreciate the call. These are the same people that are crying about what they see on Twitter/X. Oh, there's a lot of rude people. There's a lot of hate speech. They go to Blue Sky Social, and then they're sitting there advocating and championing and celebrating somebody's execution. Always fascinating how the left seems to get caught up in what they read and what they hear and what they see with words. But man, boy, they're stone cold killers when it comes to actions. Oh, they love it. I would have loved to have seen Trump get his head blown off in Butler, PA. That guy that walked out of the hotel in Manhattan, he had it coming. No, he didn't. 855-839-1210. I want to get to Syria for just a moment before we wrap up. This is not good. And when I saw this story, I wanted to give some thoughts on this. For those that might not be paying attention or checked out over the weekend, the U.S. launched strikes in Syria after Trump warned America not to get involved in the Middle East. And what happened over the weekend, and really for the last handful of days, if not weeks now, you had this overthrowing of the Syrian government with Bashar al-Assad. And the U.S., by the way, the Assads, they've been around for a long time. I believe the father was kind of in the same or similar position. You
50
know,
years.
50 years. They're like the Caseys in Pennsylvania, right? Like
are the Caseys going to Russia too?
Bob Casey seeking asylum in Russia with Assad. The U.S. launched dozens of precision airstrikes in Syria on Sunday after rebels ousted the longtime leader. And the strikes were carried out against known ISIS camps and operatives based in central Syria. The U.S. military, after Biden gave the go-ahead, struck 75 targets using warplanes, including B-52s, F-15s, and A-10s. And Trump has basically said, we need to stay out of this. Syria is a mess, but is not our friend. And the United States should have nothing to do with it. This is not our fight. Let it play out. Don't get involved. And when you look at just how bad this situation is, it's not just on the surface with Syria, with ISIS. I want you to think about this, right? Assad knew he was going down. He has fled. He has gained and sought asylum in Russia. You have ISIS that is now looking to be opportunistic after the Assad regime was overthrown. Terrorists have basically overtaken Syria, and this is not to defend Assad because he's a scumbag as well, which was already a brutal government that we know of, obviously. And then Israel jumps in, and they are seizing territory in Syria. And all of this happens as the United States gets involved after Donald Trump is saying this is not our fight. Trump, who is anti-war, is now going to inherit the complete opposite of what was going on in the Middle East when Donald Trump took the presidency in 2017. I mean, they are fighting a civil war right now, and you've got our allies like Israel. They are involved, and you have enemies like Russia that are basically harboring the former regime and leader. Donald Trump is going to be stepping into such a mess. And we just talked about, you know, Zelensky and what's going on with Russia. Ukraine has lost 700,000 fighters, right? And without the United States' assistance in the Russia-Ukraine conflict, it would probably be even far worse. When we talk about World War III, like, it's not far-fetched. I don't think it's hyperbole. It's not a cliche. And now the Middle East is once again in complete and utter chaos. And what happens? We've got Joe Biden, who's been out to lunch, and now we're issuing American strikes. So you just know that this thing is going to be a total S show. And I don't think it's going to be easy for Trump. I really don't. When we talk about avoiding war and having diplomacy, there are some things that I think Trump can do relatively quickly, and there are other things that are going to take a lot of time. Trying to defuse all of these powder kegs, best of luck.
You played the clip of, or
you read the clip of Trump saying this, but what does Biden say about this?
Mm-hmm. Or Blinken?
This is cut 27, Phil. So while all of this is happening, Joe Biden says this. Cut 27, go.
With a new constitution, a new government that serves all Syrians, and this process will be determined by the Syrian people themselves. And the United States will do whatever we can to support them, including through humanitarian relief to help restore Syria after more than a decade of war and generations of brutality by the Assad family.
Money.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, the Lindsey Grahams of the world, they love this. Yeah, you got some B-52s and some F-15s.
Yep.
Light them up, baby.
Yep.
Let's go to war. Uh-huh. Let's make money.
Also, over the weekend, since we're kind of down this rabbit hole, I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
Well, okay, so I will say, I know Anthony Blinken came out as well, and what they were talking about was because Assad was known to have chemical weapons, mm-hmm. they don't want some of these weapons to fall into the wrong hands. So I believe that, the U.S. and Israel, whether or not, we debate whether we should, have any U.S. Air Force involvement in this at all, like B-52s and whatnot, over that region, taking out these assets. But what they're saying is no civilians. They were taking out areas where they had chemical weapons, mm-hmm. things of that nature.
Right.
So they did come out and say that over the weekend, that mm-hmm. that was their limited involvement.
Right. Do you think Joe knows the guy that has overthrown Syria is a former Al-Qaeda terrorist? I mean, he's making it sound like Syria has been rescued by like some good Samaritan.
Well, that's just it. The old saying, the enemy you know.
Yep. Yeah.
In other words, now we don't really, who takes over at this point?
Mm-hmm. So you have Syria, and then this is cut 26, Phil. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin over the weekend announced this for Ukraine. Go.
In February 2022. The world was jolted by Putin's all-out invasion of Ukraine. But we understood the danger to American security and global order. And so we rallied some 50 countries to help Ukraine defend itself. And that's the most consequential global coalition since the time of President George H.W. Bush in Iraq's 1990 invasion of Kuwait. America and our friends have become the arsenal of Ukrainian democracy. The United States has delivered 2 Patriot batteries, 24 HIMARS rocket systems, thousands of armored vehicles, and millions of rounds of artillery ammunition. We've seen strong bipartisan support for Ukraine from Leader McConnell and other leaders in both parties. And I'm proud to announce today the commitment of a new Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative package worth nearly $1 billion.
There we go.
Cool.
$1 billion to Ukraine.
Yeah.
Unlimited resources, I would assume, to Syria. Yeah. Phil, can you pull up cut 28? Meanwhile.
And by the way, I love how they sit there and say there's bipartisan support for this.
Yeah.
As if, like, us sitting here as the citizens should be like, oh, okay, well, both sides are on the same page. Yeah, both sides have warmongers.
Meanwhile, in North Carolina, roll it.
These things are actually pretty incredible. Obviously, it's not a long-term setup, but it definitely does the job. It's a winter setup. These stoves will run them out of there. But
fuel continues to be a major concern as they continue rebuilding walls, trying to stay warm. And the Western Carolina Emergency Network tells me they need kerosene for heaters and gas for generators, but donations are slim. So they're trying to get the word out that people in North Carolina still need a lot of help.
Mm.
Now, besides the physical, there's also the mental. A lot of volunteers telling me that preparing for bad conditions is a sort of PTSD for Helene survivors as well. And we're expecting, at most, up to a foot of snow in some of the mountainous areas.
Yeah, cold spell to hit Carolina as all these nations keep raking in billions after billions.
So, that's what I mean. Like our own, we can't get shelter, food, rebuilding houses to these people. Like, come on,
the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen.
I just,
yeah, It's infuriating.
Yeah.
It's infuriating.
Yeah.
855-839-1210. Cut sheet is coming up in just about 20 minutes. We'll have a little fun on the other side before we get there. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, because it is the holiday season, and it is a great time to give back. And our friends at the Piazza Auto Group doing just that. Now through December 16th, the Piazza dealerships, they are collecting new unwrapped toys in partnership with the Salvation Army. To donate to a child in need, visit your local Piazza showroom and drop off a toy in the donation bin today. And their sales and service teams will be happy to assist you with any of your automotive needs during your visit. For info, go to PiazzaAutoGroup.com. Thanks for your support, and Piazza wishes you a very happy holiday.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
9 o'clock hour, we'll get to the update with TikTok as a federal judge has made a ruling that brings us one step closer to a ban on TikTok in the United States. Tell you why we are, or at least I am against that. I think all of us kind of against that in general. Cut sheet at 7:45, plenty of Trump and Kristen Welker coming up from NBC's Meet the Press yesterday. But two things on a lighter note. We've had a lot of serious conversation from Daniel Penny to the United Healthcare CEO murder to what's going on in Syria. This was amazing. So we've got two. If you're not on YouTube, get on over to YouTube. You're going to want to be there for not only the still shot photo, but also these videos that we're going to show you. I want to start with this. Trump was obviously across the pond at the reopening of the Cathedral of Notre Dame, Donald Trump and Jill Biden, according to Trump, had a very, very nice conversation. And we know we live in this world of, you know, social media moments, and the internet is forever, and they love to capture moments. Phil, if you could throw this up, this is clip K4, as Dr. Jill seen having a very pleasant moment with the president-elect Donald Trump. And Trump never slow to the draw, never misses a moment to seize on a political opportunity, decides to post a picture of this moment where Jill is looking deep into the eyes of Donald Trump and not thinking about the big guy, but rather thinking about 47. Because actually 47 is bigger than 45, if you think about that, and it's bigger than 46, right? 45, 46, 47. We know the way numbers work. And he says, here's my new Trump perfumes and cologne. I call them Fight, Fight, Fight because they represent us winning. Great Christmas gifts for family. Go to gettrumpfragrances.com/whatever. I can't see the rest of it. It says, a fragrance for your enemy, a fragrance your enemies cannot resist. And it looks like Trump's got a cologne bottle out. It's a black box with, looks like a black bottle for men. And it looks like a white bottle box and a gold bottle for women.
This marketing for this with Jill looking at him is kind of hysterical. It's kind of next level trolling.
It is. But it's also next level grifting. And look, I am all for capitalism. You know, make a dollar however you can do it. According to Forbes, I've got the story here about the Trump fragrance because they had a big write-up on it. Trump is currently the 546th richest person in the world with a fortune valued at $6.1 billion. And he is now selling. And this is not a spoof or a bit, folks. This is legitimate. You can purchase the Trump fragrances, cologne for men, perfume for women, labeled Fight, Fight, Fight. The fragrances are priced at $199 a piece.
Wow.
How about that? I don't know if you can go to Macy's or if you have to get them from the website I just read. I've been out of the cologne game for a decade. I think I've said this on the show before. My wife bought me a bottle of that, and I'll totally butcher this, Sauvage by Jour.
Yeah, sure.
Like a decade ago. I still have like 80% of the bottle left. I think I've used it like 6 times in 10 years. I'm just not a cologne guy.
Yeah, the cologne on men is just not a good.
No,
it's just not a good thing.
Day of age of body washes and, you know, the body sprays.
Everything has fragrances now. you don't really need it. You like you get a good deodorant that has a nice smell to it, and you're fine.
Right.
You know, you don't need the you don't need the spritz.
No, that's why emails from companies in the HR department at jobs put out emails saying stop wearing cologne in the workplace, and then they send the email out like seven more times because people don't adhere to it and want to come in here smelling like they've got they took a bath in Tommy Hilfiger cologne like it's 1997. But they say that the Trump fragrance embodies strength, power, and victory with rich, robust notes for men and delicate floral notes and a burst of citrus for women.
God's sake.
I'm just wondering, Dawn Stensland, have you purchased?
She's not there.
This was right up for. I was going to ask her about this. I figured she would have purchased them for the boys.
Yeah.
All right. And then also, we have to get to this video. I want to examine this because I've known this and I've seen this for a long time with Trump. And I've never done the handshake like this. Although, you know, Trump at 6'3", 6'4". I guess when you're a taller, more imposing physical figure,
you
can pull this off.
Okay.
Yeah, like this is this would be a soccer handshake.
I don't shake hands like this.
I don't either.
But
pull it off because you're bigger.
I'm a fan of the firm, look me in the eye, dominant handshake. Like I feel like that's a that's a sign of respect.
Respect, okay. Old school.
I had, I have a neighbor who his son Ghost is still in high school, and we were at some gathering a couple months ago, and he shook my hand and damn near ripped it off. This level of respect. Yeah. Look me in the eye and I was like, wow, that is impressive.
The veteran I had breakfast with 2 years ago at 99 years old broke half my knuckles.
Yeah.
I squeezed the life. He was like a boa constrictor.
Yeah.
At 99 years old.
You could say maybe it's a show of dominance. I think it's more of a show of respect.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
See it as like I'm going to rip your hand off. I see it as a give me a good, nice, firm handshake.
Okay.
And show me that you trust me.
All right.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Let's roll the footage. Yeah. Phil, this is K7, Donald Trump and Emmanuel Macron. Look at that. Right there. I mean, he literally has his hand going north to south. But yeah, let's just keep rolling it on loop.
Well, here's the thing with it, and get over to YouTube if you want to see this.
Look at that.
They're posing for a picture.
Yes.
So he's trying to put it up there just to show, right?
Yes.
I don't know if it's so much of a dominant shake. I think it's more of a...
But Macron has been known to have these very long handshakes as well. Like, you know, you ever have that awkward moment where somebody shakes your hand and forget whether, you look at the angle, if it's very top heavy, forget if it's a strong grip or not. But do you ever shake hands with somebody where they hold your hand and it's like 20 seconds and you're like, all right, bro, the shot clock is expired. You can let go now, right?
Yeah.
But you don't want to say anything.
Yep.
So you kind of like, I don't know, maybe this is a guy thing. I don't know if the females in the audience can relate to this. And I'm one of these guys, too, with the handshake. Like, I'll do the handshake dependent upon the situation. Like, if I know it's a veteran or, a police officer, I do the stronger, more respectful, strong, old school traditional handshake.
Sure.
If it's somebody that's a little more feeble or, like a child or a lady, I'm willing to go, softer on the grip. You know, sometimes you do the bro handshake where, like, it's modernized and, there's variations of it, which is also another interesting dynamic because sometimes you get, like, the half cup, like, handshake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're not in the same wavelength as the other person, it becomes like you're fumbling the football.
The worst. And the worst is, too, when you go in for the handshake and they do the fist bump or that. Like, it's just, you have to read the situation.
Or the half hug.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Which you're kind of the half hug guy. I've seen you do that.
I am.
Especially with, like, families behind the badge and people that you really like.
I do the half hug a lot. I'm a hugger, so, like, I hug people.
I'm a hugger.
I am.
Which is really interesting because you're very
germophobic.
Germophobic and cutthroat at times, but you're willing to go up to people and hug them.
Yeah. I show it as, I think it's a show of like warmth and respect. I don't know.
You're a man of many shades.
Yeah.
The 50 Shades of Stalker.
50 Shades of Stalker.
All right. So if you have thoughts on that, 855-839-1210.
Well, they had a little press conference. Phil, this is Cut 18. while in Paris. So they did the handshake. I think this was after all of this. Phil, if you want to roll cut 18.
Emmanuel Macron wanted it that way, wanted to talk to him about a lot of things. They're talking right now. Let's listen in right now.
Pour la réouverture de Notre-Dame, cinq ans après, il était président à l'époque quand le feu a pris la cathédrale, je m'en souviens. President, I just...
I can already hear the surrender in his voice.
French people welcome you 5 years later. And you were at that time present for the first time. And I remember the solidarity and your immediate reaction. So, welcome back again.
Well, thank you very much.
We are very happy to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Very
great honor. And we had a great relationship, as everyone knows.
Yank him around a little bit.
A lot
here, can you
together?
Can you rewind that for just France a couple of seconds, Phil?
And by the way, Macron has my suit on from that I wore at Piazza.
just like your suit.
Just like.
All right, roll it.
Your immediate reaction. So, welcome back again.
Well, thank you very much.
We are very happy to have you here.
Thank you very much. Very great honor. And we had a great relationship, as everyone knows.
Yeah, he slaps, and then you get the handshake, and then you come over with the other hand, and you slap the front of the fist.
Yeah, he's just shouting, because we know France is a weak country anyway. He's just showing the U.S. dominance. I like it.
You think Macron wears deodorant? You think he wears deodorant?
But I think he's a little guy, and so I think Trump, it's one of those things where he shakes his hand.
He's not that much smaller than Trump.
Yeah,
I mean,
He's not, though.
Like, I'm looking at the video. He's not.
Dawn, how tall is Trump?
Trump is like 6'3".
All right. So, Stalker, you're what, 6'1"? Or 6'2"? All right. Let's go back and let's see if Stalker's taller than Macron.
Is Macron wearing the, the DeSantis high heels hidden?
No, he's wearing the men's warehouse suit that I had on with adjustable pants straps.
On the petite mood.
I would guess, I would say Macron is probably... I don't know if we could just throw it up, Phil. Just put it up again. You don't even have to play it. Yeah, just raise it right there. Yeah, he's probably 6'1".
Yeah, he's not.
Oh, is
he's
he?
Not small.
Look at it.
Because his wife is bigger than him. Isn't she taller than him?
I would say he's 2 inches shorter.
I mean, he runs that hideous country, so
yeah.
He's a loser anyway. But
on a side note, I actually, and this might be an unpopular opinion, I like Trump in the gold tie better than the red tie. I know the red tie is the standard look with the blue and the white. I like the gold better.
Mm.
Just a personal opinion. Yeah, by the way, Don, because I wanted to get...
It looks like mustard.
Well, it's for DeSantis.
Mustard!
See, I'm looking at a thing that says he's about 5'7".
My ass, he's 5'7".
That's what it says.
Look at that photo. Look, look at the video.
Don, I'm 5'9".
He's wearing his high heels.
He could be wearing lifts. That's absolutely true. But I don't know if lifts are going to give you 5'7",
no.
8'9".
No, those are called stilts.
Well, I don't know.
Lifts aren't going to give you four inches, are they?
I'm looking at all these sites, 5'7", 5'8".
Mm. Well, then he's definitely in something. Because if you look right there, I mean... There's no way if you that
I
is.
I think he is a little petite, my friends.
He is well over 6 feet in that picture, unless he's wearing like something you're saying.
Yeah, maybe he's standing on something. But I think the bigger issue is that look at how first of all Biden was not even President Biden was not even invited to Notre Dame.
Nope.
Trump, man, they have a band. I mean, they give him a presidential welcome to somebody that is a president elect.
Yeah.
Showing you the irrelevance of Biden and how glad they are, despite France, what our media tells us here.
Well, France are a conquered people, so they...
Well, no, they're in trouble. They have a tough economy, right? I mean, they're like, welcome back. Thank God Trump's here. That's the perception that I get is like, whew, thank God you're back.
They're a country that can... We're a country that can bully them around, and they like that.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way,
he's
true?
A cuck.
Bully around. I think that they like a good economy created by Trump.
Yeah.
And I think that he's saying, you know, we're going to make France great again. We're going to make the world great again.
They bend over for the strong men. That's what they do.
Oh, that's right. Is it true that French...
No, they don't.
Of course they do. It's a hideous country.
Dawn, is it true
all they want is a rebuilt economy, and that's what they know Trump is all about.
Is it true that French women don't shave their armpits?
That's a Home Alone bit.
Is that true?
1990. For God's sake.
I'm just asking.
These are the things I care about. I don't
care damn about France's economy. Screw Macron. I don't let inflation go to 12%. I don't care.
Let's look at French women's armpits.
That's right. That's what I care about. By the way, are you going to get the Trump fragrance? Fight, fight, fight. It's $199 retail.
God.
Did you purchase it, Don? They have men and women.
I did not purchase it. What does it smell like?
All right. Well, here's the female. The perfume is a delicate floral note with a burst of citrus.
Ooh.
Smells like Liz Claiborne. White diamonds, maybe.
It smells like grifting.
I'm going to put that right up there with the MyPillow guy. We got to rank our grifters one day. We'll do that the last day before we break for Christmas.
They're all collectibles, though.
They
stocking
are.
Stuffers.
That's right. $199. That better be like the 4-ounce bottle of cologne. That's all I know. 855-839-1210. Cut sheet is coming up on the other side, which will include plenty of Donald Trump's interview with Kristen Welker from NBC's Meet the Press. Kale and Company, back after this.
You may have heard me talk about this, how I've loved again with Italia. And now I know why Italy is the most revisited country in the entire world. Join me next spring on the Italian Riviera. And yes, Lorenzo and Romina, they will be back with us once again. Conservative Tours crafting this itinerary that is sure to enchant us. Tuscany, the Riviera, the northern Italian lakes region, Cinque Terre, and dining events you will love to write home about. $53.78, yes, that includes your airfare. Pisa, Michelangelo's Florence, the fashion capital of Milan. Call toll-free. And call today, because from what I'm hearing, the last couple seats are available, but this has sold out so fast in record time, according to Conservative Tours and our friend Ken Chase. So you want to call 888-733-9494, or you can go to conservativetours.com. Yes, to luxury hotels, a Mercedes coach, and a tour leader who is absolutely the best. That is Conservative Tours in Italy. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Charming Siena, home to Il Palio, the medieval Manhattan, San Gimignano, Modena, Lake Como, Vernaggia. And so I hope you join me next spring in Italy. I'll see you in Portofino. Maybe this is a great Christmas gift. ConservativeTours.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Time for a Monday edition.
What's on the cut sheet?
Welcome to the cut sheet on this Monday, sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Right now, lease an all-wheel drive XC90 for as low as $687 per month using all applicable rebates. See store for details. Relationships really do matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. Check them out on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. All right, let's start with cut five here, Phil. Trump interviewed yesterday with Kristen Welker on Meet the Press. Philly girl, right, Dawn?
Yes.
Philly girl, yeah.
Yeah. Did she used to work at the local NBC, Dawn?
Yes.
I thought so.
We'll get to this in a second, but did you guys both watch it?
You know what a sad testament of my life is?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. Short answer. But for some, and this never happens to me, yesterday I woke up at 6.07 a.m. on a Sunday, wide awake. And could not go back to bed.
I'm shocked that happens to me all the time.
Never happens to me. Saturday, Sunday, I can sleep like I'm dead to the world.
Really?
Yesterday, I woke up and I'm like, all right, I guess it's time to get up. So, yeah, I actually watched it on Channel 10.
I don't love the way she interviews. I got to be honest with you. I think she's kind of a...
Hostile or just
no,
not the
she's
quality?
Just, I don't know.
Slanted, for sure.
Well,
biased, yes.
I'm just talking about it. I just don't like her interviewing technique.
I'm just not a fan of her presentation.
I don't like the scripted, pundit president interview,
mm-hmm.
especially with Trump, because it just gets like he's better when he's freewheeling.
You want it to be more Rogan-esque?
Yeah, I don't like. I want it to be more natural,
conversational.
Like, this is just okay. What do you think about X X X X and X? And then he has 90 seconds to answer, and then
yeah.
I don't know.
I would think, Dawn, you'd have a thought on this. Whether it's and it's not everybody on the left, and it's not always just the left against the Republican politician, so to speak. But what I've noticed about people like Welker and Collins mm-hmm. is they only have one gear, and they can't be conversational.
They have to go in there with like this.
You're right.
This bitter, like I'm gonna, you know, I don't know what it is. It's just, it's not enticing. It's not a welcoming environment.
I think that she, my perception is she's a little different than she even was when she was reporting here, that she is trying to be very formal in her role, and it's still a relatively new role.
Yeah.
So I don't think she's come into her own, like, comfort zone.
It's only been a year since she took over for Chuck Todd, right?
It's not, let me just say this, it's not her personally. It's the scripted interview
for the
these cable news shows or news programs.
Right. And by the way, Trump has praised Kristen Welker for being one of the more he has said in the past she was more fair than most. So I think he finds her that she tries to play it down the middle.
Well, he's called Collins flat out nasty. Mm-hmm. He's like, you're a nasty person.
Collins got to do something about them eyebrows.
Yeah, she's going for the Scott Pressler. I love that picture, by the way. Everybody thinks Scott Pressler's Caitlin Collins.
All right, Trump on mass deportations. Let's start with immigration, right? Because that's one of the chief reasons Trump was elected. Cut five, Phil, go.
Let's talk about mass deportation, one of your big agenda items. You've talked about prioritizing people who have criminal histories.
Correct.
But is it your plan to deport everyone who is here illegally over the next 4 years?
Well, I think you have to do it. And it's a very tough thing to do. It's, but you have to have, you know, you have rules, regulations, laws. They came in illegally. You know, the people that have been treated very unfairly are the people that have been online for 10 years to come into the country. And we're going to make it very easy for people to come in terms of they have to pass the test. They have to be able to tell you what the Statue of Liberty is. They have to tell you a little bit about our country. They have to love our country. They can't come out of prisons. We don't want people that are in for murder. So we had 11,000 and 13,000 different estimates, 13,099 murderers released into our country over the last 3 years. They're walking down the streets. They're walking next to you and your family, and they're very dangerous.
The 13,000 figure, I think, goes back about 40 years.
No, it doesn't. No, nope. It's within the three-year period. It's during the Biden term. No, that was a fiction that they put that out. This was done by the Border Patrol. It's 13,099, and it's during the Biden period of time. And these are murderers, many of whom murdered more than one person. You don't want those people in this country.
But you're saying something, sir, that's significant. I just want to make sure I'm clear, which is that you're saying, yes, you're going to focus on the people with criminal histories, but everyone who's here illegally has to go.
I'm saying this. Saying. We have to get the criminals out of our country. We have to get people that were taken out of mental institutions and put them back into their mental institution, no matter what country it is. Do you know that Venezuela, their prisons are at the lowest point in terms of emptiness that they've ever been? They're taking their people out of those prisons by the thousands, and they're drunk. And just to get back, because I know exactly what you're getting at. Number one, we're doing criminals, and we're going to do them really rapidly. We're getting the worst gang, probably with MS-13 and the Venezuelan gangs, are the worst in the world. They're vicious, violent people. And you see what they've done in Colorado and other places. They're taking over, literally taking over apartment complexes and doing it with impunity. They don't care. They couldn't. They just are. They're in the real estate business.
You know, the local police say that is not the case in Colorado.
Oh, it's totally the case. I mean,
believe the local police.
I play it. I used to play it at my rallies every single night. No, they're breaking into doors. They're taking over the building.
But sir, you
and by
raised
the way, the police are afraid to do anything.
You raised the point that the logistics are complicated. You said
sure
it yourself.
They are, but everything's complicated.
You need 24 times more ICE detention capacity just to deport 1 million people per year. Not to mention more agents, more judges, more planes. Is it realistic to deport everyone who's here?
You have no choice. First of all, they're costing us a fortune. But we're starting with the criminals, and we got to do it. And then we're starting with others, and we're going to see how it goes.
Who are the others?
Others are other people outside of criminals. We have convicted murders. We don't mean people that are even on trial. We have people that have murdered numerous people are on our streets and in our farms. And we have to get them out of our country.
You know, I'm not sure what is so difficult to comprehend on deporting people illegally here. Yes, that means everybody, but you start with the ones that are the biggest liability and risk to the safety and security of American citizens. That being the convicted killers, the rapists, the drug dealers, the child sex traffickers, and you work your way down the list of illegal people. So if, let's say there was 100 illegal people here. You start with number one. Who's the baddest of all? You get rid of that person. And then you work your... I don't understand why that's so difficult to comprehend. But he makes a good point about the people that have been in line waiting for 10 years. I mean, let me just boil this down to like the most simple thing with a line. Could you imagine if you're at the grocery store and the line is 8 deep and you're waiting patiently and somebody jumps the line illegally, illegally in air quotes, wouldn't that enrage you? So if I'm somebody from another country who's gone about the vetting and screening process with documentation and applications and paperwork, and I'm watching and I'm waiting my time, it's been 8 years and it's like almost there, maybe I'll be in the next year or two, and then I turn on the television and I see people bum rushing the border, wouldn't that infuriate you if you went about it the right way? That never gets talked about.
Dreamers, what's going to happen with them? This is Cut 6, Phil, go.
There are dreamers who were brought to this country illegally as children. You said once back in 2017, they, quote, shouldn't be very worried about being deported. Should they be worried now?
The dreamers are going to come later, and we have to do something about the dreamers, because these are people that have been brought here at a very young age, and many of these are middle-aged people now. They don't even speak the language of their country. And yes, we're going to do something about the dreamers.
What does that mean?
And
what are you going to do?
I will work with the Democrats on a plan. And if we can come up with a plan, but the Democrats have made it very, very difficult to do anything. Republicans are very open to the dreamers. The dreamers, we're talking many years ago, they were brought into this country. Many years ago. Some of them are no longer young people. And in many cases, they become successful. They have great jobs. In some cases, they have small businesses. Some cases, they might have large businesses. And we're going to have to do something with them. And
you want them to be able to stay. That's what you're saying.
I do. Okay. I want to be able to work something out. And it should have been able to be worked out over the last 3 or 4 years. And it never got worked out. You know, Biden could have done it because he controlled, you know, Congress to a certain extent, right? He could have done something, but they didn't do it. I never understood why, because they always seem to want to do it. But then when it comes down to it, they don't. I think we can work with the Democrats and work something out.
A lot of people weighing in on social media to this interview that we've played so far. Marcus Aurelius, Kristen Welker has psycho eyes.
She does have the bug eyes thing going on there.
Well, that's what I mean. She just seems, she wasn't like that. For those of you who remember her when she was at NBC 10, she was more relaxed and a little more natural.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel in part they've really scripted her to your point, Nick, earlier, saying all of her questions are scripted out. And so I think that, you know, she just needs to relax a little in the role and has not thus far. But I do think that even Trump, the fact that he would sit down with her in particular, out of all of them, he thinks that she tries to be fair.
Yeah, that's probably her.
I just, the whole scripted thing, just I just don't like it. It's like, must I have 10 questions? Must ask him all 10?
Right.
Must not be diverted from script?
I think the total interview length was, I'm not sure that this has been confirmed, but they say it was an hour and 16 minutes total. And
wow.
It was not a...
Because it was pre-taped on Friday.
Yeah, it was not a fun interview to sit through and watch Sunday morning as I was drinking my coffee, but...
It's not Joe Rogan.
No.
Yeah, it's true.
You know.
What about birthright citizenship?
Oh, yeah.
Cut 7, Phil.
You promised to end birthright citizenship on day one. Is that still your plan?
Yeah, absolutely.
The 14th Amendment, though, says that, quote, all persons born in the United States are citizens. Can you get around the 14th Amendment with an executive action?
Well, we're going to have to get a change. We'll maybe have to go back to the people, but we have to end it. We're the only country that has it.
Through an executive action?
You know, we're the only country that has it. Do you know... If somebody sets a foot, just a foot, 1 foot, you don't need to, on our land, congratulations, you are now a citizen of the United States of America. Yes, we're going to end that because it's ridiculous.
Through executive action?
Well, if we can, through executive action. I was going to do it through executive action, but then we had to fix COVID first, to be honest with you. We have to end it.
You know, I don't understand how people could be opposed to Trump and getting rid of this whole concept of birthright citizenship. It is such a rarity globally that the other nations even acknowledge, like the United States, do something like this. Think about this for a second. So you're born here and you garner legal citizenship despite the fact that your parents came here legally. So they procreated you here illegally. And you go back to the whole deportation of families and separating families, and Trump and Homan have both said, no, we don't want to separate the parent from the child, but we'll deport everybody collectively. Like, maybe I'm a callous individual, but I don't have any sympathy if Trump goes down this road with the 14th Amendment and the entire family is deported. Like, we create laws and rules for a reason. I just can't get past the fact that it's twofold with people like Welker in the media and those on the left. Number one, they just refuse to acknowledge the word illegal. It's like as if it's up for debate and open for discussion. No, it's like something's either legal or illegal. There's no gray area in legal versus illegal. It's A or B. It's yes or no. It's one or two. And then the whole concept of protecting Americans first. Why is that a controversial stance to take? Well, nobody's illegal. They're all human beings. I don't care if you're a convicted killer. I don't want you here.
The issue, though, of the 14th Amendment and the birthright citizenship, that if you're born here, that all persons born or naturalized in the U.S. are citizens of the U.S.
It's stupid.
And it's in the Constitution. It's in the 14th Amendment.
Yep.
But the other thing that they didn't get into was a lot of wealthy people from around the world, they come here to have dual citizenship.
Okay.
So because it's valuable to have, you know, to say that you're born in America and be a U.S. citizen. And so a lot of rich, this is a practice that a lot of rich people do. It's mm-hmm. a concierge service where they pay fully for the hospital. You know, they fly in, they have their baby in America, and then they have their baby has dual citizenship.
Okay.
That's a lot of people from around the very wealthy people.
But they have legal citizenship, though, the parents.
No.
You just
no,
have
no, no.
They have
rich dual... people from, right, rich people from the right. Middle East, from Europe, rich people from around the world. Let's say they're from somewhere in Europe okay. or Spain or whatever, but they want the dual citizenship. They will fly here from the Middle East. A lot of people do this. They yeah. will fly the pregnant mom here, and then she has the baby here. So that, and then they fly back home, but they have the dual citizenship.
So do you think
it's
that...
It's a wealthy people thing.
Should children be considered citizens if their parents came here illegally and had them here? I don't think they should.
I don't know how they really get... I don't know how they get around this other than to try to, you know, make it so people can't... If they're... What are they going to do? Stop pregnant people at the border? Stop people... A lot of people just fly in. They're not, like, crossing the border illegally in the way that you may think.
Right.
So how do you then stop that? Through the airlines?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. It's a very good point. I'm just saying it don't matter to me if you come here on an airplane, if you come up through the southern border, if you're from France or you're from Ecuador. To me, if you have a kid born here while you're not here legally, I do not think we should grant those people citizenship status. Say that 10 times fast.
Going on to Cut 15 here, this is Kristen Welker asked Trump a plethora of questions like that about the divided nature of this country, this election, all kinds of stuff. This is Cut 15. Go.
And finally, I asked the president-elect about this extraordinary moment in time. He is taking office against the backdrop of a country that is so sharply divided. And when he has yet to concede the 2020...
Yep. This is exactly why I hate these interviews. Because she's sitting up there like a puppet,
mm-hmm.
reading a script.
Yep.
And finally, I asked the president-elect why he's going to... It's like, oh, can you just get to the question?
Is she, this is where, I mean, if she had an ounce of either integrity or intelligence, she would...
Well, but she has both.
She should throw that question in the trash. This is not the most divided time of all time. In fact, Donald Trump had more supporters than the first two times. Donald Trump had more black men vote for him, more Hispanic men vote for him, more Jewish men. He went up in all of those demographics. So it's not divided. That is a planted, divisive question intentionally by the media.
But you don't think that this is a politically divided country or divisive
times? No, it's a manufactured, contrived nonsense from people like her and their damn network. That's why nobody watches that damn network. They're not divided. Trump had more support than he's ever had from demographics of communities that no Republican has ever had.
Well, two things can be true at once, Nick. I mean, it's still, I think that it's fair to say that we live in these divisive times. Whether or not the lamestream media helped create that, I would agree with that. But she didn't create it. But she's just making a sentence that I think she's saying these are divided times.
That's all. I this is why I write my own big takes. I could never read. Like, I would just be like, wait, who put this in here?
It's such a there's a lot of takeaways from this last election. But like, it's really a rejection of this type of structured.
Yes.
No emotion. Mm-hmm. No realness anchor that just sits there like a puppet and reads
propaganda
questions. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't.
And knowing her, she may very well have written that.
Yeah.
You know, she's somebody who's.
And by the way, this has nothing to do with. I'm not talking about Kristen Welker.
Well, yeah,
personally.
You are.
I'm not talking about her personally. I'm just talking about the atmosphere of
a formal old school.
Yes,
news setting.
I don't like it.
You can insert anybody there. Ari Melber, put a guy in there. I don't care. They're all going to read the same crap.
No, I mean, the famous person who had that role, Tim Russert, was beloved because he didn't come off as that. He came off as an everyman. And at the end, because when I taught journalism classes, I would always play him. He always at the end would end on, you know, maybe like, for example, Tim Russert, he would end with maybe Kai.
Yeah.
Right. Trump's famous granddaughter who spoke at the convention. And he would perhaps end on saying, oh, I saw that Kai, you know, whatever in her golf game. And he'd always end on a very cordial note.
Yeah.
But he was very tough as an interview viewer, but he didn't come off as so scripted as she does. And that's what I'm saying. Like, there's something about her. I don't know if the producers are all over her or what, but she seems just very uptight. And she was not like that when she was a reporter and anchor here in Philadelphia.
The problem with a lot of this is that that's why I love what we do here, and not just what we do, but podcasting and all that stuff, because it's just such a free flow, free form. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I don't mean that we just open our microphones and we just, you know, say what's ever on our mind. There's no structure to what we do. There's a ton of structure to what we do. You know, you should see the text messages, the emails, the reams and reams of paper that we all have. Like, it's a very nuanced, structured atmosphere that we do here every day, but it doesn't seem like it.
You can't be married to your, I've always said, you can't become married to the show sheet, right? Like, we just can't. Well, we had this plan for 7:20. We have to hit. No, like, if we're having a conversation about something else that's organic and great, we're going to keep rolling with it. By the way, Kale and Company, killing trees one day at a time.
That's right. Yeah, the IT department here who orders paper, the front desk and everything like that, they hate us because we go through rolls and rolls and rolls of paper a week. But look, this is what we need to succeed. We're doing it. So, like, keep going. My whole point is that you can be structured in what you do. Just don't sound like it.
Yeah.
Just have some emotion. Have some realness. Instead of, sir, what do you think about this? Like, shut up.
Deb Kennedy on Twitter says, the woman who interviewed Trump yesterday reminded me of the robot on the Jetsons.
All right, keep,
because she's trying to be so perfect.
Yeah.
You know, almost like a gymnast in the Olympics, who wants the 10. But we're so accustomed to the format of just being more conversational.
She feels the weight of the world on her that role of hosting Meet the Press because of the prestigious nature of that program.
Well said.
All right, keep rolling. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail.
Which he lost.
Sir, I don't have to tell you this because you've talked about it. It comes at a time when the country is deeply divided. And now you're going to be leading this country for the next 4 years. For the sake of unifying this country, Will you concede the 2020 election and turn the page on that chapter?
No. No. Why would I do that? But let me just tell you, when you say the country is deeply divided, I'm not the president.
Boom.
Joe Biden's the president.
But you're going to be the president.
Like, no, no. I'm not the president. So when you say it's deeply divided, I agree. But Biden's the president. I'm not. And he has been a divider. And you know where he divided it more than anything else, and it probably backfired on him, I think definitely, is weaponization. When he weaponized the Justice Department and he went after his political opponent, me, he went after his political opponent violently because he knew he couldn't beat him. And I think it really was a bad thing, and it really divided our country.
Sir, Democrats have control of the White House now. They didn't. In 2020, if they're going around stealing elections, why
when you say
they
Democrats have control now
of the White House,
yeah,
so why didn't they steal this election since they have more power now?
Because I think it was too big to rig.
So you won't
big to rig.
To the people who say that you're now directing your Justice Department to investigate 2020, and they want to move on.
Very capable. I think Pam is going to be great.
Precious resources.
By the way,
is that what you want them to do?
Just so you know, I have the right to do that, but I'm not interested in that.
Oh, you're not. You're not going to do that.
I'm not interested.
Okay.
I have the absolute right. I'm the chief law enforcement officer. You do know that. I'm the president. But I'm not interested in that. You know what I'm interested in? Drilling and getting prices down and stopping people from pouring into our border that come from prisons and mental institutions.
Boom. The economy and the border. Simple as that. And what's remarkable, and I love the fact that he says Democrat. Like, there's multiple people now in the media that create this weird illusion that the last 4 years Donald Trump was still the president. Donald Trump was a citizen of the United States of America the last 4 years. He was not in office. It's almost like Biden was in office, but they don't acknowledge the fact that he was really there. Like, don't you find that odd, Dawn? Because we've heard this numerous times where somebody on the other end of the question has had to say, Donald Trump's not the president right now. You're aware of that, right? Like, this is the Joe Biden administration.
Well, it was, you know, it's why he is fantastic in these interviews. I love the fact that she decided to move on. You hear her hesitation, and she says, so you're not, and she was about to repeat her question on 2020. She decides to pivot a little and move forward the interview.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was smart on her behalf, but it was her decision. And I'd love to see that she's not going to keep doubling down. Cause I can't stand when people do those interviews and they just ask the same questions 50 different ways. You know, I want to correct something I said. And that is, even though she's saying the 14th Amendment, Hans von Spakovsky.
Ah, yes.
I had dinner with him.
Who I love to interview. I love when Zioli calls him Hans, baby. You know, from one of our favorite Christmas
underrated
movies.
Underrated name, by the way, Hans.
Hans.
Yeah.
But he had written a lot about the 14th Amendment and how it is, how people debate it and they really are using it in the wrong way to say that they erroneously believe anyone present in the U.S. has subjected himself to the jurisdiction of the U.S. So scholars like Hans and others have argued that the 14th Amendment, and if you look at when it was put in place and all of that, it is not a clean an interpretation that, hey, by the way, you fly here, you sneak in here, and your baby's born here, you have U.S. citizenship for the child. He's saying it's actually not so clear.
Okay.
So I just wanted to correct that because.
Okay.
Because I remembered him telling me that and I looked it up. So
gotcha. 855-839-1210. Let's grab a call here talking about the divisiveness of the country from this interview that was posed in the question from Kristen Welker. Steve is on the main line. Hopefully his house is not being robbed right now. Steve, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hey, great show, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So I just wanted to say to Dawn, who I really find myself in a lot of agreement with, this country was always divided. It was divided at its foundings with the Whigs and the Tories. Some people wanted to have they wanted to be loyal to the crown in England, and other people wanted to be independents. We've been founded based upon our division, and that's why the E Pluribus Unum, out of the many, one. We're supposed to be one nation, and I think the Democratic Party, which I used to be a big believer in, has really distorted our differences to keep us separate. And when it comes to the birthright citizenship, if you look back at the Federalist Papers when all that was put together, Hans himself is echoing that the idea of birthright citizenship is tied to the American dream, and if people can get here, regardless of what their status was prior, they were able to have kids here that were natural citizens, that were now citizens. So, again, through the distortions of the other party, the 14th Amendment really was distorted, and that's where we are today. I just hope in this great country of ours, the greatest in the history of mankind, I just hope that we were able to use this as a chance to come together. And my hope and prayers go to President Trump and his team to help us do that. And I'll listen to your comments.
Well, thanks for the call, Steve. It says that
beautifully said
on the call screener. It said that he wanted to say that we've always been divided. It's just that social media shows it more now, which that's kind of my point is, you know, yes, you know, you could sit there. Well, it's the United States. It's really the divided states of America. But you look at it now. I look with all this left wing nonsense. There are far more people that fall into the middle that lean slightly right or slightly left. And that's why I was trying to illustrate the different demographics that voted for Trump in different numbers and different records like never before. I really just don't like, I think most of us get along. Most are in agreement. Now, we differ on how we arrive at the conclusion of fixing things. That to me is where the disagreement is. But the media and the Democrat Party with all the left wing, super progressive stuff have created this division that I think genuinely speaking doesn't exist. Like you look on social media, you would think that the world's on fire. You go out into society, it's still relatively a peaceful place. I think a lot of this, and when we always talk about, we hear these headlines, and this is what always infuriated me before I got into this job. You hear the chaos of the first Trump administration. What exactly was the chaos? Manufactured hoaxes? All these fugazi investigations? Impeachments? It was media driven. I don't buy the level of divide. I also don't buy the level of racism that people claim exists in this country. This is all a lot of manufactured, take one thing and try to magnify it 10 times over for the sake of political gain. And by the way, I think both sides are guilty of it because as they divide us or attempt to, they're lining their own pockets.
This is cut 10 here, Phil, on Cash Patel being the, nominated as the new head of the FBI. This is what he said. Cut 10, go.
You named Cash Patel to be the next FBI director. He has a list in his book of 60 people that he calls members of the so-called deep state. It includes Democrats like Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton. It includes former members of your cabinet, from Bill Barr to Christopher Wray. You campaigned on destroying the deep state. Do you want Cash Patel to launch investigations into people on that list?
No, I mean, he's going to do what he thinks is right.
Do you think that's right, sir?
If they think that somebody was dishonest or crooked or a corrupt politician, I think he probably has an obligation to do it. But
are you going to direct him to do it?
No, not at all. Not at all. We have two great people there. We have him and we have Pam. And Pam Bondi has been like a rocket ship. She's very popular and very good and very fair. And Cash Patel is very fair. I'll tell you, I thought Cash may be difficult because he's, you know, a strong conservative voice. And I don't know of anybody that's not singing his praises. The other day I was watching, and Trey Gowdy, who's a moderate person and very smart and very respected in the party, he's Cash's biggest fan. He said, this is the most misunderstood man in politics. He's great. I guess they worked together on the Russia hoax or something. And Trey Gowdy became a fan. You know Trey Gowdy. Everybody respects him. And, you know, just like him, others also. I don't know of one negative vote. I don't think he's going to have any negative votes.
Is it your expectation, though, that Cash Patel will pursue investigations against your political enemies?
No, I don't think so.
Do you want to see that happen?
If they were crooked, if they did something wrong, if they have broken the law? Probably. They went after me. You know, they went after me and I did nothing wrong.
Well, let me ask you this. You said President Biden, quote, that you're going to appoint a real special prosecutor to go after Joe Biden. You said that.
Where did I say that?
The campaign.
Where?
You said that on Truth Social, June 12th, 2023. I will appoint a real special prosecutor to go after the most corrupt president in the history of the United States, Joe Biden, and the entire Biden crime family. Are you going to do that? Are you going to go after Joe Biden?
I'm really looking to make our country successful. I'm not looking to go back into the past. I'm looking to make our country successful. Retribution will be through success. If we can make our success, this country successful, that would be my greatest, that would be such a great achievement. Bring it back.
You know, it's amazing, too, because when you look at this and you say, well, he's got 4 years, he doesn't have a whole bunch of time, you know, success will be the ultimate payback. The reality is he's got less than 2 years, right? Because you're going to have midterms coming up in 2026. You know, DOGE is basically a 19-month operation. I think what worries them the most about Cash Patel, at least to this point, is the fact that there's no baggage out there, apparently, on Cash Patel, right? There's no Pete Hegseth smoking guns. There's no Matt Gaetz skeletons in the closet. And, like, I think Pam Bondi is just a nuts and bolts. You know, she's going to focus on what matters. But I give Walker credit there. She at least had a receipt of Trump's, what he said on Truth Social. Now, what Trump says on Truth Social, what he says in a rally versus what he actually will do, I think are two different things. But you notice how she reframed and re-asked that question, what was that, like three different times there in that extended clip?
Yeah.
That's what Dawn's talking about with the keep going back to the same thing over and over.
What about FBI Director Christopher Wray, who Trump appointed? Cut 11.
Sir, are you going to fire the current FBI Director Christopher Wray, who you appointed?
Well, I can't say I'm thrilled with him. He invaded my home. I'm suing the country over it. He invaded Mar-a-Lago. I'm very unhappy with the things he's done. And crime is at an all-time high. Migrants are pouring into the country that are from prisons and from mental institutions, as we've discussed. I can't say I'm thrilled. I don't want to be Joe Biden and give you an answer and then do the exact opposite.
We're going to talk about
that. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to say is I certainly cannot be happy with him. You take a look at what's happened. And then when I was shot in the ear, he said, oh, maybe it was shrapnel. Where's the shrapnel coming from? Is it coming from heaven? I don't think so. So we need somebody to straighten. You know, I have a lot of respect for the FBI, but the FBI's respect has gone way down over the last number of years.
Don't you have to fire him in order to make room for Cash Patel if he is, in fact, confirmed?
Well, I mean, it would sort of seem pretty obvious that if Cash gets in, he's going to be taking somebody's place, right? And somebody is the man that you're talking about.
So he is going to fire him. I mean, there's only one way to do it, right?
If you nominate somebody to take the job, yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically already been fired. He's a lame duck. He's a sitting duck at this point, right? Now, what was, Dawn, you mentioned last week, did Ray get like a 10, is it 10 years? You threw out some time frame.
Yeah, so he would have, I think, 3 years left.
Okay, because it was 2017 to the end of 2027. So he would have 2025, 2026, 2027. Yeah, he's gone pretty quick, fast, and in a hurry. And I'm gonna be glad. Yeah, if you're ranking the people that you're looking forward to leaving the most starting in January, Mayorkas has to be number one for me. Yeah, like every time I see that bald head of his and the refusal to use the word crisis, like he makes my skin crawl. But Christopher Wray's probably in the top three. He's going to be up there with Roe and the lady that Roe replaced in the Secret Service.
Cut 12 here on Trump on if he'll pardon himself.
I asked you last time we sat down for an interview if you were going to pardon yourself. You said no. But now that President Biden has pardoned his son, Hunter, are you reconsidering? Might you pardon yourself?
I didn't do anything wrong. I was given the option. And the lawyers told me, a very specific lawyer, I don't have to go into who, but very high up in the administration, said, sir, if you pardon yourself, you're going to look guilty. And you did nothing wrong.
Sir.
Oh, I had that option. I could have saved myself a lot of legal fees. But it turned out that I was right. Look at what's gone on. Everything's being dropped I still have a Fonnie Willis, a total hoax. That's a total hoax. It's all being dropped.
As soon as I hear him say sir, I just have Farish on the brain and I hear sir.
Yeah, I tell you what though, I damn sure would pardon myself. Whether that's in 2028 or 2025 or anywhere in between, I'd be pardoning myself.
I think he's smart though to say I didn't do anything wrong. So yeah. So by pardon, if he says I'm going to pardon myself, it's as if he's admitting to some wrongdoing. Well, I think he knows that all of those cases are going to get thrown out, and that means he can say he was exonerated.
Well, and that also and that also plays into when you do a pardon or you say you're going to pardon somebody, that makes the presumption of guilt for something, right? We talked last week. Joe was going to issue preemptive pardons for Fauci and Liz Cheney and Adam Schiff. Well, why would you issue a pardon if they didn't do anything wrong? Right? Yeah. Like, that's the implication that you give off. So,
on the J6, the people who are in jail for J6, speaking of pardons, he says this.
I'm going to look at everything. We're going to look at individual cases, yeah.
Okay.
But I'm going to be acting very quickly.
Within your first 100 days, first day?
First day.
First day.
Yeah, I'm looking first
issue
day.
Issue these pardons.
These people have been there, how long is it? 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
You know, by the way, they've been in there for years, and they're in a filthy, disgusting place that shouldn't even be allowed to be open.
So he's saying he's going to pardon January 6th.
Well, he said he's going to look at everyone.
Case by case.
Case by case.
And non-violent.
Yeah, you actually have to really listen to the way he answers that. Everybody was just running with that on Twitter yesterday as facts that, you know, it's like this, you know, 100% sweeping action. It's not a 100% sweeping action. Because if Trump really does examine all of them, there are going to be some that aren't going to receive a pardon. So I got news for people. I don't know how many people or whatever the number is. If you think it's a 100% pardon rate, you're fooling yourself.
On NATO, because he's said that he wants to pull us out of NATO, or at least that's what they say. Cut 13, Phil, go.
Sir, will the United States stay in NATO while you're in office?
In where?
NATO. Do you commit that the United States will remain a member of NATO while you're in office?
Again, they have to pay their bills. If they pay their bills, absolutely.
But not if they don't pay their bills.
But NATO's taking advantage of us because we were look, two things. Number one, they take advantage of us on trade, meaning the European nations, okay, like terrible. They don't take our cars. They don't take our food product. They don't take anything. They think it's a disgrace. And on top of that, we defend them. So it's a double whammy. So let me just tell you, I was able to get hundreds of billions of dollars put into NATO just by a tough attitude. I said to the countries, I'm not going to protect you unless you pay. And they started paying. And that amounted to more than $600 billion. That's a big thing. Otherwise, they wouldn't even be fighting. They wouldn't have any money to fight. If they're paying their bills, and if I think they're doing if they're treating us fairly, the answer is absolutely, I'd stay with NATO.
This is why I love Trump on global issues, because he views everything from a businessman's lens, and he knows when you're on the receiving end of being ripped off by somebody. The only thing I would push back on is about how the European nations don't want to take our food. We've had food conversations on this show about the food in this country versus other countries. I don't blame other nations for not wanting to take our food. Our food poisons everybody and kills everybody. Other than that, I got no complaints. By the way, Red Dye 5 has been banned.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, one of the states that will no longer prohibit Red Dye. I think I'm saying it. Red Dye 5. I think that's the number. I know you gave us the story last night.
Yes.
All these dyes, the yellow, the red, they should all go away.
I agree. What was the one that was in Mountain Dew all those years? Yellow dye. Is that 5 or 6? I forget what the number was. They used to say it would deplete your sperm count as a man if you drank it.
Yeah.
I think that was fake, but
it
had to be 20 years ago on it.
I think it was fake, too, but still, nothing in nature is that color, the color of Mountain Dew. So you should err on the side of caution that when something is bright red or bright blue or, you know, colors you don't see naturally, you should say, hey, I wonder how it got this color. All I'm saying.
And by the way, you know, technically in public school food and drinks, technically they have to ban all of these by the year 2027. Mm. I sure hope people on our own will say, not for nothing, but I think I you know, will start banning it in my own private life.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wait till, but it's red number 40, yellow number 5, yellow number 6, blue number 1, blue number 2, and green number 3.
Thank you.
It's like the Crayola 64 crayon set. My God, my head's ready to explode.
Trump suggests that that annexing Canada and Mexico is on the table. Cut 14, roll this.
You're subsidizing Canada to the tune of over $100 billion a year. We're subsidizing Mexico for almost $300 billion. We shouldn't be subsidizing. Why are we subsidizing these countries? If we're going to subsidize them, let them become a state. We're subsidizing Mexico, and we're subsidizing Canada, and we're subsidizing many countries all over the world. And all I want to do is I want to have a level, fast, but fair playing field.
Governor Trudeau, the 51st governor of the United States.
We have to break up Canada, though, into, like, Western Canada and Eastern Canada.
Yeah, where did I see that?
Well, that was, this all stems from, they were at Mar-a-Lago.
Why, did somebody say that?
Trump was, like, he later said he was joking about it, but he was with Trudeau there, right? They were at Mar-a-Lago, and then he was kind of joking, hey, we should, you know, turn it into another state. And then somebody said, well, they've got a lot of liberals
I think
on the French side. And he was like, okay, one side could be for the Republican, like Republicans.
Western Canada would be more Republican.
But then Trump did say he was kidding.
Yeah, so I there might have been a caller on my board a while ago that we didn't get to that was going to make that point. If that person is still listening and you want to jump in, we had to get to either a break or something. But, yeah, call back.
This is cut 22 here, Phil. Kristen Welker asked Trump point blank about Pete Hegseth, and if he's concerned he has a drinking problem. Go.
Pete is doing well now. I mean, people were a little bit concerned. He's a young guy with a tremendous track record, actually. He went to Princeton and went to Harvard. He was a good student at both, but he loves the military, and I think people are starting to see it, so we'll be working on his nomination along with a lot of others.
Since you bring him up, do you still have confidence in Pete Hegseth?
Yes, I do. I really do. He's a very smart guy. I've known him through Fox, but I've known him for a long time. And he's basically a military guy. I mean, every time I talk to him, all he wants to talk about is the military. He's a military guy.
Have you gotten assurances from senators that he's going to be confirmed? Do you think he can make it?
No. I think he will, yeah. I've had a lot of senators call me up saying he's fantastic.
You don't drink yourself.
No.
You've talked about how devastating drinking can be.
No.
How concerned are you that the person who you picked for this top job at the Defense Department, at least according to those who've worked with him, has struggled with drinking?
But I've spoken to people that know him very well, and they say he does not have a drinking problem. Right.
So I'll let you guys in on a little bit of a secret. Trump had me personally vet Pete Hegseth Friday night at PJ Wellahan's. We were shotgunning beers and eating crab fries, and I came to the conclusion that he likes his cocktail, but he's not an issue, and don't see it being a problem moving forward.
That's good. You did a field test.
I was a field test.
Yeah, that's good.
And then we took a field sobriety test, and we both passed.
Finally, on Trump, people who didn't vote for him.
But by the way, I think we're all on record as saying that we don't think Hegseth is going to make it through, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm getting, the more I think about it, I'm getting closer to thinking that Trump will issue a recess appointment. I think Trump is going to fight all the way through for Hegseth. Think about it now. The Gates thing was out there for how long? 72 hours or so? And then ultimately, Gates, you know, resigned. Well, he resigned before the issues, thinking that he was going to get in. And then, you know, we have our theories as to what was done behind the scenes. This has played out far longer than Gates. That gives me the reason to think that Trump's going to see this one through. I do not think he's going to get Gates.
Well, all of these people are not going to make it through. You know what I mean? Like even the Matt Gates pulled his nomination. Like they're not all going to make it through, and he's not going to recess appoint all of them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I do think, you know, history shows that some are going to fall by the wayside.
So what do you, roughly right now, I mean, let's think about the notable ones. You've got Hegseth.
Yeah.
Next on the line. So once, like, the Hegseth thing is either finalized or he's pushed through, they move on to,
I think Tulsi Gabbard is going to be a hard one for them. I think RFK Jr. I initially thought was going to be hard, but he has some weird bipartisan support.
He's got Bernie support.
Bernie and Jon Stewart were discussing him. Like, I don't know. Like I think that there's some weird bipartisan support for RFK Jr. When I say weird, I don't mean weird like how could people support him. I mean weird like it's just so unheard of these days.
Wouldn't you think, you know what I mean? Because he's a former Democrat just like Tulsi, wouldn't you think that there's bipartisan support for Tulsi as well?
No.
Really?
No.
Interesting.
No.
Okay. Because
I think part of it is...
And with this whole Assad thing, I'm sorry, Don, with this whole Assad thing...
True, yeah, with
like, Syria. Now everybody is coming out of the woodwork, you know, because she, you know,
because
whatever.
Hillary... made up the fact that, oh, she's some kind of a Russian asset, which is crazy. I think that they don't view, nobody views RFK Jr. as a threat. They all know him. He's a longtime legacy Democrat name, but also he's never going to run for president.
Yep.
Whereas with Tulsi, I think Democrats view her as a threat, that she could run. She has military background, right? That she could be a contender. And so if she runs for president, I think they view her as a real threat. And I think it's all about power and jealousy and who's teed up next, because Trump obviously can only be president for 4 years.
So who will get through? I believe Pam Bondi will get through.
Oh, yeah.
Marco Rubio will get through. Kash Patel, I think, will get through. The ones that I think it. Ultimately, RFK Jr. will get through. The ones I think are going to have the issues are going to be Tulsi, Hegseth. Who else am I leaving off here?
God, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
By the way, you saw Alina Habba yesterday. She was, Trump named her as personal counselor. Yeah. It's the role that Kellyanne Conway had.
Oh, is that okay?
That's the role. Okay. So personal advisor, personal counselor to the president.
All right, let's over here. Let's roll with this on. Will he support? What do you say to the people who didn't vote for you? Cut 16, go.
I want to ask you, sir, one final question. What do you want to say to Americans who didn't support you in this campaign?
I'm going to treat you every bit as well as I have treated the greatest MAGA supporters. There's never been anything like MAGA in the history of this country. These people are so dedicated to making America great again. It's very simple. And I'm going to treat them just the same as I treat MAGA. We're going to treat everybody good. We want success for our country. We want safety for our country. You know, our country's under threat, as you know. We have a tremendous threat militarily because of the power of weapons and weaponry. It's a tremendous threat. Nobody talks about it, but it's a tremendous threat. I want to treat everybody the same. I want to treat them well. And at the end of this 4 years, I have a big head start because I was there for 4 years fairly recently. A lot of bad things were done during the 4 years that I wasn't there. And mostly in what they've done in terms of our reputation overseas. Our reputation is so bad, so shot. I got to bring it back, and I also have to bring back civilization to our country. Our country is a crime pot, and we have to get rid of crime. We have so many things to do. We have to do the prices. We have to do all of that. But we have to get the criminals out of our country. We have to bring down crime. People have to be able to walk across the street and buy a loaf of bread without being shot. And that's going to happen. But what I say to them is, I love you, and we're going to all work together, and we're going to bring it together. And you know what's going to bring it together? Success. I saw that just prior to COVID coming in, I had polls that were the highest anyone. McLaughlin and Fabrizio said George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, if they came back from the dead and they ran as president and vice president, couldn't beat you, sir. We were doing so well. And I was getting along with the left. Let's call it the left. We'll be nice. Okay, we're just going to call it. But I was getting along with people that you would consider liberal or progressive, as they like to say, at levels that I never thought was possible. And you know what it was? Success. Success was bringing the country together, and that's what I want to do.
The one thing I would just say to add to that is for those that did not vote for him, he is, and this is where I think everybody should give him credit, because we have seen those on the left speak down to those who vote for Donald Trump. Hillary's called you deplorable. We've had all these other, you know, non-pleasant words that are used. Trump will go after other Democrat politicians. He will certainly go after the media. He never belittles those that vote against him. And I think that's worth worth highlighting, because I know we've mentioned that from time to time in the past.
I think that's a good place to stop it for today.
All right. At least. We will come back, get some calls to wrap up the hour. A big three from Dawn is on the way. And then, of course, the TikTok case update at the federal level. We'll get to that all on the other side. First of all, 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group, where you can experience the joy of a new Volkswagen during the Sign and Drive sales event. Lease a new Tiguan from Piazza Volkswagen of Ardmore or Langhorne with zero down, or get 0% financing for 60 months. Visit PiazzaVW.com for details. More on the other side, but first a word from our friends at DuckDuckGo, and what an offer we have for you. Remember that 7-day trial offer that we gave you about a month ago? Well, how about something different for the holidays? Like a 30-day free trial. That's right, new 30-day free trial from our friends at DuckDuckGo, simply by going to duckduckgo.com/1210. Yes, we're talking about the 3-in-1 Privacy Pro, the subscription-based service. But one element that is, I think, by far the best is personal information removal. Look, we don't want our information out there floating around on the internet. And we're to blame for it because, you know, we put it out there. But after activating this special offer, you will be able to track how many sites your information is on and the status of that removal. For me personally, when I signed up about a month and a half ago, Privacy Pro found my personal information and records 52 different times on the internet. And within 48 hours of signing up, a third of those records were erased. That's why I love it. That's why I'm encouraging all of our listeners to subscribe to Privacy Pro today from DuckDuckGo. A free 30-day trial at duckduckgo.com/1210. Your information is just dangerously sitting out there. Now it's removed for you, and you will know. You can actually watch and track this in real time. Check it out today. 30-day trial offer, absolutely free. After that, it's just $10 a month. Your personal information and that peace of mind and security is worth it. Just go to duckduckgo.com/1210.
When it comes to your home, trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has been building a reputation for transforming kitchens with such precision and care. You know, from the custom cabinets to the countertops, backsplashes, to the all-important storage solutions, Kitchen Magic gets the job done fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. You can trust the name your neighbors have been relying on for decades now, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation. Just go to kitchenmagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
855-839-1210. Let's wrap up the 8 o'clock hour. We've got Mike in the Lehigh Valley. Mike, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hey, I'm actually up in Nick Country.
Yeah, that's right. Mike, you're the former Clinton Democrat that voted Trump, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Man, good memory. You and Dawn always. Yeah. Yes, I'm a classic liberal. I was a big Hillary supporter. We'll just agree to disagree on universal health care. I was a big RFK guy, and I went with Trump the second time, or I should say the third time around.
Right.
I saw error in my ways, and I'm glad I did.
Okay. You know? And you wanted to jump in on one of the conversations we were having earlier?
Yeah, on division, such divisiveness. I'm tired of not talking with people and people throwing in the towel. Not talking is one of the worst tactics to ever use. We're so divided. At one point, do we just, and I'm not advocating secession or anything. However, I kind of am open to it. It's odd as a social studies teacher and a firefighter to even be open to such a thing. But to be honest with you, I sometimes wonder if we would just be better off in two different countries. And I was wondering what you, Greg and Dawn, would think on that, because ever since Alexander Hamilton and Jefferson, you know, basically a modern day, you know, Republican slash libertarian, and Hamilton, a strong, you know, modern day Democrat slash liberal, probably be like, you know, I don't know.
I'm not for it, and it would never happen. But I'm more intrigued by the lack of talking. You talked about not having. So what is this like? Are you saying, like, just when all of a sudden, like, a friend or a family member shuts you out because you just disagree politically with them, that we lose the open conversation and the dialogue?
Well, we're so divided. Why not? I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Because I've never understood that. As somebody that's like a talkative individual, and thanks for the call, Mike, because we're up against it. Like, I've never understood why you shut somebody out because you differ with them politically.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's so insane.
Yeah, and by the way, you made this point earlier. We're not as divided as the media and everybody
makes it out. I don't think we are.
It's just, you know, you invite people in your home. I don't know 90% of the people that I'm friends with or who I invited in my home, who they voted for, nor do I care. And as long as they're good people and we get along, like, I don't care. So this idea, we need to do a better job of talking to one another and not, you know, spending all our time on social media and letting social media dictate how. Well, it's a perceived it's a perceived divided country because social media tells us that. It's people don't talk like that in real life.
And paying attention. How many times do you sit down with somebody that you know you disagree on and you agree to have a conversation? When the other person is talking, for the love of God, for all the people out there with the attention span of a tick, listen to what the other. Stop worrying about what you're going to say pre-scripted in advance and hear the other person first. And it's just, and there's like certain words and it shuts people's brains off. And you say Trump and that person you're talking to, their brain shuts off. It is the most confounding thing I've ever seen. But we were just discussing over the weekend. My brother-in-law got unfriended on Facebook by a relative in 2017. And the relative told him, when he asked him, he said, "Hey, I saw that you unfriended me on Facebook. Why did you do that?" He goes, "Oh, I didn't like what you were posting about Trump." Like, really? And this was like a 35-year relationship. Yeah. Unfriended.
Yeah.
Because of what you posted.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's silly. We
put too much of ourselves, I think, out there on social media. Not that, you know, you have the right to do that with what you want, and people have the right not to be friends with you anymore if they don't. But it's just, we've let politics and who we voted for be our identity. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, because he mentioned Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah.
And, like, Hamilton loved to debate. Look at the Federalist Papers. He wanted the federal government to have more power than the states. So he would have loved to have, that was his thing. But we should have a new rule based on Hamilton, the Broadway show, that if you want to be divisive, you have to rap. You have to rap with somebody. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's the new rule.
Rap battle.
You rap battles. And, like, you know, that you could, but that's just it. There was a time in this country and that has ended. But there was a time when people would love to spar verbally over, you know, talking about policies and politics.
Yeah.
And I agreed with what Trump told, you know, on NBC News, told Christian Welker, that it's the Democrats. It was Joe Biden right here in Philadelphia. I mean, for the rest of my life, I will never forget that day. It was worse than the deplorables that we've been called when he stood and gave that speech with the weird red lighting and the
black
two,
and red backdrop.
And they put up an eerie red lighting on Independence Hall. It was bizarre.
Yep.
And then used United States Marines standing guard as a backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
And called us like the evil MAGA.
Yeah.
That was a Biden speech. And I wish he would address that, because I think he probably will, because he seems to be, you know, going out, as you said, with a big middle finger to the Democrats who stabbed him in the back. But that was, for me, that was eye-opening and a shocking new low in governmental rhetoric.
Yep. 9 o'clock hour officially underway. We'll get it going on the other side. It'll be brought to you by Wawa, where you've got great taste. That's why Wawa lets you customize a delicious crispy or roasted chicken sandwich just the way you want. Chicken how you wanna at Wawa. 9 o'clock hour, big three on the way. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.